Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. I just want to preface this podcast by making a correction. I completely murdered the name of the author of Good Germs, Bad Germs. Her name is Jessica Snyder Sachs. And because of the weather and because of the way things are going, I'm going to just correct that up front rather than risk trying to re-record this and not getting it done for another day. So, Jessica, oh, good. The dogs are harassing the cats. This is what I really need. Jessica Snyder Sachs. Keep that name in mind as you listen to what follows. She is the author of Good Germs, Bad Germs. Now on with the podcast. I have decided that no matter how disorganized this sounds, I am going to record today because I keep trying to find time to do it, and we keep having storms, and the power keeps going out, and it just throws my plans up in the air. And as you all know, I'm very anal, and when my plans get thrown up in the air, I get irritable and grumpy. And so now I'm just going to do it. And what I want to talk about are some thoughts that came to mind recently when I completed reading two books. One, The Secret Life of Lobsters by Trevor Corson, and the other, Good Germs, Bad Germs by Jessica Sachs Snyder. First of all, they're both excellent reads. Both authors are excellent writers, very conversational, a lot of good information in there, some of it shocking. Who knew that lobster sex could be so exciting? Who knew that we knew nothing about the normal bacterial population of the body until very, very recently, in spite of all those antibiotics that we've been using to kill various populations of bacteria? But the reason I started thinking about the two books together was because I'm in the process of putting notes together for a weekend seminar I'm giving in November in the Baltimore area about the fundamentals of ethology as they relate to companion animals. And we owe a lot to lobster ecologists for what we know about the lobster's secret life. And we also owe a lot to lobstermen, the lobstermen of Maine, who in their own ways are pretty doggone good lobster ecologists themselves. And in Good Germs, Bad Germs, Jessica Sachs Snyder, refers to one group of researchers at Tufts who look at the bacterial population in a body as an ecosystem. And so here we have two groups who are talking about ecosystems or ecology. One group is looking in parts of the ocean the vast majority of humans will never, ever see. The other group is looking inside the body. And that got me thinking about ecology and ecosystems, because I have been trying for years to find a good word to replace holism and holistic. Originally, holism referred to the whole shebang, the individual's health, their behavior, as these related to their environment. But over time, that word came to be associated with traditional forms of medicine like homeopathy and herbal medicine. And when those forms of medicine sought to become at least recognized as viable alternatives, they opted to do that by adopting the same allopathic or problem-oriented approach that's used in conventional medicine. And of course, as soon as they did that, they ceased to be holistic. But the word stuck. And so now, if you mention holistic, people immediately think of these types of medication to treat a problem, such as an ear infection or something like this. You can't say that about ecology. Ecology refers to the study of the animal in the environment, but also as the animal relates to human society. More specifically, ecology is derived from the Greek word oikos, which means household. And this is what I love, the idea of a household, the idea of our dogs and our cats and our bodies as a household of normal populations of bacteria that communicate with each other and with us and with other microorganisms to keep that household running smoothly. And that household of the individual is in another household. And so as I'm walking around here downstairs trying to stay away from the aquarium and the pump and keep ahead of BB and away from the storm, there's my household, there's BB's household, there's Ollie's household on the floor chewing on his bone, there's Frick sleeping on my antique shaker rocker, the seat of which I haven't seen in years because I cover it with an old towel so that my dog can sleep there. And then my dear old ancient cat is curled up in a ball on the dog couch, and he's sleeping, and Hertz the canary is sitting on the edge of his food dish watching me while he eats. And each one of us is a household. And together we make up the household, the human-animal household. And oh, I forgot the daddy long legs that are crawling over the ceiling. Coming from where and going to where, I have no idea. And we're all a household, and this household is part of the greater household of my 6 acres. And those 6 acres are part of the greater household of the 2 towns that I live in, and they're part of the state and the country. And it's all related. It is absolutely all related. And there's an ancient saying, when you tug on a corner, the whole universe moves. And that's the way it is with health and behavior. You tug on just one little part of it, and you're going to change everything. And one of the things that the team at Tufts mentioned that I never thought about is that you have this ecosystem of bacteria in the body. And when you use a vaccine, you knock out a resident. And when you do that, you create a space, what ecologists refer to as a niche. So now there's an empty space in there. And oh, nature abhors vacuums. Nature is just so energy efficient. And so now there's a space. There's rental space in a very, very crowded area. Who's going to move in? And what we hope is that whoever moves in is going to be less of a problem than who we kicked out. And that's always the case. When we don't look at things ecologically, when we look at them as problems, or we put them into little boxes, then we say, oh, this bacteria is a problem, let's get rid of it. This behavior, this barking bugs me, let's get rid of it. The cat's marking, that's intolerable, let's get rid of the problem. And we never think about what the elimination of that single element in the household is going to do to the exquisite balance, the allostasis of the whole system. So think about that the next time you look at your dog or your cat or your horse or your bird, and you find yourself thinking in terms of problems. As soon as you start thinking about problems, remind yourself that that problem is an effect. It's not a cause. And if you remove the effect and you don't deal with the cause could come back to bite you.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.